Day 6003. I am not alone when I wake up the next morning. I am sharing the room with two other boys, my brothers, Paul and Tom. Paul is a year older than me. Tom is my twin. My name is James. James is big, a football player. Tom is about the same size. Paul is even bigger. The room is clean, but even before I know what town I'm in, I know we're not in the nice part of it. This is a big family in a small house. There is not going to be a computer here. James is not going to have a car. It's Paul's job, self-appointed or otherwise, to get us up and out. Our father's not home from the night shift yet, and our mother's already on the way to her job. Our two sisters are about done with the bathroom. We're next. I access and find that I'm in the town next to Nathan's, over an hour from Rhiannon's. This is going to be a hard day. The bus ride to school takes 45 minutes. When we get there, we head to the cafeteria for free breakfast. I am amazed at James's appetite. I pile on pancake after pancake, and he's still hungry. Tom matches him bite for bite. Luckily, I have study hall first period. Unluckily, there's still homework that James needs to do. I push through that as quick as I can and have about 10 minutes of computer time left at the end. There's a message from Rhiannon, written at 1 in the morning. A. I want to believe you, but I don't know how. Rhiannon. I write back. Rhiannon. You don't need to know how. You just make up your mind and it happens. I'm in Laurel right now, over an hour away. I'm in the body of a football player named James. I know how strange that sounds, but like everything I've told you, it's the truth. Love, A. There's just enough time for me to check my other email address. There's another email from Nathan. You can't avoid my questions forever. I want to know who you are. I want to know why you do what you do. Tell me. Again, I leave him unanswered. I have no idea whether I owe him an explanation or not. I probably owe him something, but I'm not sure it's an explanation. I make it through to lunch. I want to go immediately to the library to check the computers again, but James is hungry and Tom is with him, and I'm afraid that if he doesn't get his lunch now, there won't be anything for him to eat until dinner time. I checked, and there's only about $3 in his wallet, including change. I get the free lunch and eat it quickly. Then I excuse myself to the library, which inspires no shortage of taunts from Tom, who claims that libraries are for girls. A true brother, I shoot back with, "Well, that explains why you never find any." A wrestling match ensues. All of this takes away time from what I need to do. When I get to the library, all the computers are taken. I have to loom large over a freshman for about 2 minutes before he freaks out enough to give me a space. Quickly, I check out public transportation and find out I'll need to take 3 buses in order to make it to Rhiannon's town. I'm ready to do it, but when I check my email, there's another message from Rhiannon, dated just 2 minutes ago. A. Do you have a car? If not, I can come to you. There's a Starbucks in Laurel. I'm told that nothing bad ever happens in a Starbucks. Let me know if you want to meet there. Rhiannon. I type. Rhiannon. I would appreciate it if you could come here. Thank you. A. 2 minutes later, a new email from her. A. I'll be there at 5. Can't wait to see what you look like today. Still not believing this. Rhiannon. My nerves are jangling with possibility. She's had time to think about it, and that hasn't turned her against me. It's more than I could ask for. I am careful not to be too grateful, lest it be taken away.